Chelan's sketchbook. Shadesmar, Spren. It seems that the Spren we see in our physical world are only partial manifestations of more complex beings that are part of an entire ecosystem of their own. I could spend another lifetime studying these Spren alone. Anticipation, Spren. These are surprisingly stealthy and can sense your anticipation from a great distance. Fear, Spren. We saw many of these. They are tenacious. Drawing is easy. Clearly it isn't.
108. Honor's Path. Chemoaresh, the Dust Mother, has some of the most varied lore surrounding her. The wealth of it makes sorting lies from truths extremely difficult. I do believe she is not the Night Watcher, contrary to what some stories claim. From Hesse's Mythica, page 231. Chelan sketched in her notepad as she stood on the deck of the Honor Spren ship, the wind of its passing ruffling her hair. Next to her, Kaladin rested his arms on the ship's railing, overlooking the ocean of beads. Their current vessel, Honor's Path, was faster than Iko's merchant ship. It had mandras rigged not only at the front, but also to wing-like rails jutting from the sides. It had 5 decks, including 3 below for crew and storage, but those were mostly empty. It felt like a war vessel intended to carry troops, but which didn't currently have a full complement. The main deck was similar to the top deck of human ships, but this craft also had a high deck running down its center from prow to stern. Narrower than the main deck, it was supported by broad white pillars and probably offered an excellent view. Chelan could no more than guess, as only the crew was allowed up there. At least they'd been let out. Chelan and the others had spent their first week on board, locked in the hold. The Honor Spren had given no explanation when, finally, the humans and Pattern had been released and allowed to move on deck, so long as they stayed off the high deck and did not make nuisances of themselves. Syl remained imprisoned. "Look here," Chelan tipped her sketched map toward Kaladin. "Pattern says there's an Honor Spren stronghold near Carbranth in our world. They call it Unyielding Fidelity. We've got to be heading there. We went southwest after leaving Celebrant."
"While we were in the hold," Kaladin said softly, "I saw a sea of tiny flames through the porthole. A town on our side?"
"That was here," Chelan said, pointing at her map. "See where the rivers meet? Just southwest of the lake? There are towns there, on our side. The river peninsulas should have blocked our way, but the Spren seemed to have cut a canal through the stone. We wove east around the Isingway River, then swung west again."
"So you're saying..."
She pointed at a spot with her charcoal pencil. "We're right about here, heading toward Carbranth across the Frostlands." Kaladin rubbed his chin. He glanced toward an Honor Spren passing above and narrowed his eyes. He'd spent their first day of freedom arguing with the Honor Spren, which had ended with him locked up for another 2 days.
"Kaladin," Chelan said.
"They need to let her out," he said. "Prisons are terrible for me. They'll be worse for her."
"Then help me figure out a way off this ship." He looked back at her map and pointed.
"Thalen's City," he said. "If we continue this direction, we'll eventually pass just north of it."
"Just north in this case meaning more than 300 miles away from it in the middle of a bead ocean."
"Far closer than we've been to any other Oathgate," he said. "And if we can get the ship to swing south a little, we could maybe get to the coast of Longbrow's Straits, which will be stone on this side. Or do you think we should still be trying for Azure's phantom perpendicularity in the Horneater Peaks?"
He spoke with such authority, such a compelling sense of motion. "I don't know, Kaladin.
We're heading in the right direction, he said, firm. I saw it, Shallan. We just need to continue with the ship a few more days, then find a way to escape. We can hike to the Oathgate on this side, and you can transfer us to Thalen City.
It sounded reasonable. Well, except for the fact that the Honorspren were watching them, and the fact that the Fused knew where they were now, and were probably gathering forces to give chase, and the fact that they had to somehow escape from a ship in the middle of a sea of beads, reach the shore, then hike 200 miles to reach Thalen City. All of that could fade before Kaladin's passion. All but the worry that topped them all. Could she even make the Oathgate work? She couldn't help feeling that too much of this plan depended on her.
Yet those eyes...
We could try a mutiny, Vale said. Maybe those Mistspren who do all the work will listen. They can't be happy, always hopping about, following Honorspren orders.
I don't know, Kaladin said, voice hushing as one of these Spren, made entirely of mist, save for the hands and face, walked past.
Could be reckless. I can't fight them all.
What if you had Stormlight? Vale asked. If I could pinch it back for you, what then?
He rubbed at his chin again. Storms, he looked good with a beard, all ragged and untamed through the face, contrasted by his sharp blue uniform. Like a wild spren of passion, trapped by the oaths and codes.
Wait, had that been Vale?
Shallan shook free of the momentary drifting of personality. Kaladin didn't seem to notice.
Maybe, he said. You really think you can steal the gemstones back for us? I'd feel a lot more comfortable with some Stormlight in my pocket.
Shallan swallowed. Kaladin, I don't know if... Maybe it would be best not to fight them. They're honor spren.
They're jailers,
he said, but then calmed.
But they are taking us the right direction, if only inadvertently. What if we stole back our Stormlight, then simply jumped off the ship? Can you find a bead to make us a passage toward land like you did at Kolinar?
I guess I could try. But wouldn't the Honorspren simply swing around and pick us up again?
I'll think about that, Kaladin said. Try and find some beads that we can use.
He walked across the deck, passing by Pattern, who stood with hands clasped behind his back, thinking number-filled thoughts. Kaladin eventually settled beside Azure, speaking softly with her, probably outlining their plan. Such that it was. Shallan tucked her sketchpad under her arm and looked over the side of the ship. So many beads, so many souls, piled on top of each other. Kaladin wanted her to search through all of that for something helpful? She glanced toward a passing sailor, a Mistspren who had gaseous limbs that ended in gloved hands. Her feminine face was the shape of a porcelain mask, and she, like the others of her kind, wore a vest and trousers that seemed to float on a body made of swirling, indistinct fog.
Is there a way for me to get some of those beads? Shallan asked.
The Mistspren stopped in place.
Please? Shallan asked.
The sailor jogged off, and then returned a short time later with the captain, a tall, imperious-looking honor spren named Notum. He glowed a soft blue-white and wore an outdated but sharp naval uniform, which was part of his substance. His beard was of a cut she hadn't seen before, with the chin shaved, almost like a horn-eater, but with a thin mustache and a sculpted line of hair that ran from it up his cheeks and blended into his sideburns.
"You have a request?"
he asked her.
"I would like some beads, Captain," Shallan said. "To practice my art, if you please. I need to do something to pass the time on this trip."
"Manifesting random souls is dangerous, Lightweaver,"
I would not have you doing it wantonly upon my decks."
Keeping the true nature of her order from him had proven impossible, considering how Pattern followed her around. "I promise not to manifest anything," she said. "I merely want to practice visualizing the souls inside the beads. It's part of my training."
He studied her, clasping his hands behind his back. "Very well," he said, which surprised her. She hadn't expected that to work.
He gave an order, however, and a mist spren lowered a bucket on a rope to get her some beads.
"Thank you," Shallan said.
"It was a simple request," the captain said. "Just be careful. I suppose you'd need Stormlight to manifest anyway, but still, be careful."
"What happens if we carry the beads away too far?" Shallan asked, curious as the mist spren handed her the bucket. "They are tied to objects in the physical realm, right?"
"You can carry them anywhere in Shadesmar you wish," the captain said. "Their tie is through the spiritual realm and distance doesn't matter. However, drop them, let them free, and they'll work their way back to the general location of their physical counterpart."
He eyed her.
"You are very new to all of this. When did it begin again? Radiance? Swearing ideals?"
"Well," her mother's dead face, eyes burned. "It hasn't been going on for long," Shallan said. "A few months for most of us. A few years for some."
"We had hoped this day would never come."
He turned to march toward the high deck.
"Captain," Shallan asked, "why did you let us out? If you're so worried about Radiance, why not just keep us locked away?"
"It wasn't honorable," the captain said. "You are not prisoners."
"What are we then?"
"Stormfather only knows. Fortunately, I don't have to sort it out. We'll deliver you and the ancient daughter to someone with more authority. Until then, please try not to break my ship."
As days passed, Shallan fell into a routine on the Honor Spren ship. She spent most days sitting on the main deck, near the whale. They let her have beads in plenitude to play with, but most of them were useless things. Rocks, sticks, bits of clothing. Still, it was useful to visualize them, hold them, meditate on them, understand them. Objects had desires. Simple desires, true, but they could adhere to those desires with passion, as she'd learned during her few attempts at soul casting. Now she didn't try to change those desires. She just learned to touch them and to listen. She felt a familiarity to some of the beads, a growing understanding that perhaps she could make their souls blossom from beads into full-fledged objects on this side, manifestations they were called. Between practices with the beads, she did sketches. Some worked, some didn't. She wore the skirt that Adolin had purchased for her, hoping it would make her feel more like Shallan. Vale kept poking through, which could be useful, but the way it just kind of happened was frightening to her. This was the opposite of what Wit had told her to do, wasn't it? Kaladin spent the days pacing the main deck, glaring at Honor Spren he passed. He looked like a caged beast. Shallan felt some of his same urgency. They hadn't seen any sign of the enemy, not since that day in Celebrant. But she slept uneasily each night, worried that she'd wake to calls of an enemy ship approaching them. Notum had confirmed that the Voidspren were creating their own empire in Shadesmar, and they controlled cultivation's perpendicularity, the easiest way to get between realms. Shallan sorted through another handful of beads, feeling the impression of a small dagger, a rock, a piece of fruit that had started to see itself as something new, something that could grow into its own identity, rather than merely a part of the whole. What would someone see when looking at her soul? Would it give a single, unified impression?
many different ideas of what it was to be her. Nearby, the ship's first mate, an honor spren woman with short hair and an angular face, left the hold. Curiously, she was carrying Azure's shard blade. She stepped onto the main deck beneath the shadow of the high deck and went hiking toward Azure, who stood watching the ocean pass nearby. Curious, Shallan pocketed the bead representing a knife, just in case, then left the bucket on top of her sketchbook and walked over. Nearby, Kaladin was pacing again, and he also noticed the sword. "Draw her carefully," Azure said to Berea, the first mate, as Shallan approached. "Don't pull her out all the way. She doesn't know you." Berea wore a uniform like the captain's, all stiff and no nonsense. She undid a small latch on the shard blade, eased it from its sheath a half inch, then drew in a sharp breath.
"It tingles."
"She's investigating you," Azure said.
"It really is as you say," Berea said. "A shard blade that requires no spren, no enslavement. This is something else. How did you do it?"
"I will trade knowledge per our deal once we arrive." Berea snapped the blade closed.
"A good bond, human.
We accept your offer." Surprisingly, the woman held the weapon toward Azure, who took it. Shallan stepped closer, watching as Berea walked off toward the steps up to the high deck.
"How?" Shallan asked, as Azure belted on the sword. "You got them to give your weapon back?"
"They're quite reasonable," Azure said, "so long as you make the right promises. I've negotiated for passage and an exchange of information once we reach lasting integrity."
"You've done what?" Kaladin said.
He stalked over. "What did I just hear?" "I've made a deal, Stormblessed," Azure said, meeting his gaze. "I'll be free once we reach their stronghold."
"We're not going to reach their stronghold,"
Kaladin said softly.
"We're going to escape."
"I'm not your soldier, or even Adolin's subject. I'm going to do what gets me to the perpendicularity, and barring that, I'm going to find out what these people know about the criminal I'm hunting."
"You'd throw away honor for a bounty?"
"I'm only here because you two, through no fault of your own, I admit, trapped me. I don't blame you, but I'm also not indebted to your mission."
"Traitor,"
he said softly. Azure gave him a flat look. "At some point, Cal, you need to admit that the best thing you can do right now is go with these spren. At their stronghold, you could clear up this misunderstanding, then move on."
"That could take weeks."
"I wasn't aware we were on a schedule. Dalinar is in danger."
"Don't you care
about a man I don't know?" Azure said. "In danger from a threat you can't define, happening at a time you can't pinpoint?" She folded her arms. "Forgive me for not sharing in your anxiety."
Kaladin set his jaw, then turned and stalked away, right up the steps toward the high deck. They weren't supposed to go up there, but sometimes rules didn't seem to apply to Kaladin Stormblessed. Azure shook her head, then turned and gripped the ship railing.
"He's just having a bad day, Azure," Shallan said. "I think he feels anxious because his spren is imprisoned."
"Maybe. I've seen a lot of young hotheads in my time, and young Stormblessed feels like another color altogether. I wish I knew what it was he was so desperate to prove."
Shallan nodded, then glanced again at Azure's sword. "You said the Honor Spren have information on your bounty?"
"Yeah. Berea thinks the weapon I'm chasing passed through their fortress a few years ago."
"Your bounty is a weapon?"
"And the one who brought it to your land. A shard blade that bleeds black smoke."
Azure turned toward her.
"I don't mean to be callous, Shallan.
I realize you're all eager to return to your lands. I can even believe that, through some tide of fortune, Kaladin Stormblessed has foreseen some danger.
Shallan shivered. Be wary of anyone who claims to be able to see the future.
But, Azure continued, even if his mission is critical, it doesn't mean mine isn't as well.
Shallan glanced toward the high deck, where she could faintly hear Kaladin making a disturbance.
Azure turned and clasped her hands, adopting a far-off look. She seemed to want to be alone, so Shallan trailed back toward where she'd left her things. She settled down and removed the bucket from her sketchpad. The pages fluttered, showing various versions of herself, each one wrong. She kept drawing Vale's face on Radiant's body, or vice versa. She started back into her latest bucket of beads. She found a shirt and a bowl, but the next bead was a fallen tree branch. This brought up memories of the last time she'd dipped into Shadesmar, freezing, near death, on the banks of the ocean. Why hadn't she tried to soul cast since then? She'd made excuses, avoided thinking about it, had focused all her attention on light weaving. She'd ignored soul casting because she'd failed, because she was afraid. Could she invent someone who wasn't afraid? Someone new, since Vale was broken, and had been since that failure in the Kolinar market.
Shallan? Adolin asked, coming over to her. Are you all right? She shook herself. How long had she been sitting there?
I'm fine, she said. Just remembering.
Good things or bad?
All memories are bad, she said immediately, then looked away, blushing.
He settled down next to her. Storms, his overt concern was annoying. She didn't want him worrying about her.
Shallan? He asked. Shallan will be fine, she said. I'll bring her back in a moment. I just have to recover her.
Adolin glanced at the fluttering pages with the different versions of her. He reached out and hugged her, saying nothing, which turned out to be the right thing to say. She closed her eyes and tried to pull herself together.
Which one do you like the most? She finally asked.
Vale is the one who wears the white outfit, but I'm having trouble with her right now. She peeks out sometimes when I don't want, but then won't come when I need her. Radiant is the one who practices with the sword. I made her prettier than the others, and you can talk to her about dueling. But some of the time I'll have to be someone who can light weave. I'm trying to think of who she should be.
Ash's eyes, Shallan.
Shallan's broken, so I think I'm trying to hide her. Like a cracked vase, where you turn the nice side toward the room, hiding the flaw. I'm not doing it on purpose, but it's happening, and I don't know how to stop it.
He held her.
No advice? She asked, numb. Everyone always seems to have loads.
You're the smart one. What can I say?
It's confusing, being all these people. I feel like I'm presenting different faces all the time, lying to everyone because I'm different inside. That doesn't make sense, does it?
She squeezed her eyes shut again.
I'll pull it back together. I'll be someone.
He pulled her tight again as the ship rocked.
Shallan, I killed Sadeas.
She blinked, then pulled back and looked him in the eyes.
What?
I killed Sadeas,
Adolin whispered.
We met in the corridors of the tower. He started insulting Father, talking about the terrible things he was going to do to us, and I couldn't listen anymore. Couldn't stand there and look at his smug red face, so I attacked him.
So all that time we were hunting a killer?
It was me. I'm the one the Spren copied the first time. I kept thinking about how I was lying to you, to Father, and to everyone. The Honorable Adolin Colin, the consummate duelist, a murderer. And, Shallan, I don't think I'm sorry. Sadeus was a monster. He repeatedly tried to get us killed. His betrayal caused the deaths of many of my friends. When I formally challenged him to a duel, he wiggled out of it. He was smarter than me, smarter than Father. He'd have won eventually. So I killed him. He pulled her to him and took a deep breath. Shallan shivered, then whispered, "Good for you." "Shallan, you're a Radiant. You're not supposed to condone something like this."
"I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I only know that the world is a better place for the death of Toral Sadeus."
"Father wouldn't like it if he knew."
"Your father is a great man," Shallan said, "who is perhaps better off not knowing everything, for his own good."
Adolin breathed in again. With her head pressed to his chest, the air moving in and out of his lungs was audible, and his voice was different, more resonant.
"Yeah,"
he said.
"Yeah, maybe. In any case, I think I know what it's like to feel like you're lying to the world. So maybe if you figure out what to do, you could tell me."
She leaned into him, listening to his heartbeat, his breathing. She felt his warmth.
"You never did say," she whispered, "which one you prefer."
"It's obvious. I prefer the real you."
"Which one is that, though?"
"She's the one I'm talking to right now." "You don't have to hide, Shallan. You don't have to push it down. Maybe the vase is cracked, but that only means it can show what's inside. And I like what's inside."
"So warm, comfortable, and strikingly unfamiliar. What was this peace? This place without fear?"
Noises from above spoiled it. Pulling back, she looked toward the upper deck.
"What is the bridge boy doing up there?"
"Sir," the misty sailor Spren said in broken Aleti. "Sir, not. Please, not."
Kaladin ignored her, looking through the spyglass he'd taken from the chain nearby. He stood on the rear section of the high deck, searching the sky. That Fused had watched them leave Celebrant. The enemy would find them eventually. Dalinar alone, surrounded by 9 shadows. Kaladin finally handed the spyglass to the anxious Mist Spren. The captain of the ship, in a tight uniform that probably would have been uncomfortable on a human, approached and dismissed the sailor, who scuttled away.
"I would prefer," Captain Notum said, "if you would refrain from upsetting my crew."
"I would prefer that you let Syl go," Kaladin snapped, feeling her anxiety through their bond. "As I told you, the Stormfather has condoned what she did. There is no crime."
The short Spren clasped his hands behind his back. Of all the Spren they'd interacted with on this side, the Honor Spren seemed to share the most human mannerisms.
"I could lock you away again," the captain said, "or even have you tossed overboard."
"Yeah? And what would that do to Syl? She told me that losing a bonded Radiant was hard on their Spren."
"True. But she would recover, and it might be for the best. Your relationship with the ancient daughter is inappropriate."
"It's not like we eloped."
"It is worse, as the Nahel bond is far more intimate, a relationship. The linking of spirits. This is not a thing that should be done lightly, unsupervised. Besides, the ancient daughter is too young."
"Young?" Kaladin said. "Didn't you just call her ancient?"
"It would be difficult to explain to a human."
"Try anyway," the captain sighed.
"The Honor Spren were created by Honor himself many thousands of years ago. You call him the Almighty, and I'm afraid he's dead."
"Which makes sense, as it's pretty much the only excuse I would have accepted."
That wasn't levity, human, Notam said. Your god is dead. Not my god. But please, continue. Well,
Notam frowned. He'd obviously thought the concept of Honor's death would have been more difficult for Kaladin to accept.
Well, sometime before his death, Honor stopped creating Honor Spren. We don't know why, but he asked the Stormfather to do it instead.
He was setting up an heir. I've heard that the Stormfather is a kind of image of the Almighty.
More like a weak shadow, Notam said. You actually understand this?
Understand? No. Follow? Mostly.
The Stormfather created only a handful of children. All of these, save Silfrenna, were destroyed in the Recreants, becoming Deadeyes. This loss stung the Stormfather, who didn't create again for centuries. When he was finally moved to remake the Honor Spren, he created only 10 more. My great-grandmother was among them. She created my grandfather, who created my father, who eventually created me. It was only recently, even by your reckoning, that the ancient daughter was rediscovered. Asleep. So in answer to your question, yes, Silfrenna is both old and young. Old of form, but young of mind. She is not ready to deal with humans, and certainly not ready for a bond. I wouldn't trust myself with one of those.
You think we're too changeable, don't you? That we can't keep our oaths?
I'm no high spren, the captain spat. I can see that the variety of humankind is what gives you strength. Your ability to change your minds, to go against what you once thought, can be a great advantage. But your bond is dangerous without honor. There will not be enough checks upon your power. You risk disaster.
How? Notam shook his head, then looked away, off into the distance.
I cannot answer. You should not have bonded Silfrenna either way. She is too precious to the Stormfather.
Regardless, Kaladin said, you're about half a year too late, so you might as well accept it.
Not too late. Killing you would free her, though it would be painful for her. There are other ways, at least until the final ideal is sworn.
I can't imagine you'd be willing to kill a man for this, Kaladin said. Tell me truthfully, is there honor in that, Notam? He looked away as if ashamed.
You know Syl shouldn't be locked away like this, Kaladin said softly. You're an honor spren too, Notam. You must know how she feels.
The captain didn't speak. Finally, Kaladin gritted his teeth and strode off. The captain didn't demand that Kaladin go down below, so he took up a position at the very front of the high deck, hanging out over the bow. With one hand on the flagpole, Kaladin rested a boot on the low railing overlooking the sea of beads. He wore his uniform today, since he'd been able to wash it the previous night. Honor's Path had good accommodations for humans, including a device that made a great deal of water. The design, if not the vessel itself, probably stretched back centuries to when Radiance traveled Shadesmar with their spren. Beneath him, the ship creaked as sailors shifted her heading. To the left, he could see land. Longbrow's Straits, on the other side of which they'd find Thalen City, tantalizingly close. Technically, he was no longer Dalinar's bodyguard, but storms during the Weeping, Kaladin had nearly abandoned his duty. The thought of Dalinar needing him now, while Kaladin was trapped and unable to help, brought a pain that was almost physical. He'd failed so many people in his life. Life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination. Together these words formed the first ideal of the Windrunners. He'd said them, but he wasn't certain he understood them. The second ideal made more direct sense. I will protect those who cannot protect themselves. Straightforward, yes, but overwhelming. The world was a place of suffering. Was he really supposed to try to prevent it all? I will protect even those I hate, so long as it is right. The third ideal meant standing up for anyone, if needed. But who decided what was right? Which side was he supposed to protect? The fourth ideal was unknown to him, but the closer he drew to it, the more frightened he became. What would it demand of him? Something crystallized in the air beside him. A line of light, like a pinprick in the air, that trailed a long, soft luminescence. A mist-spren sailor near him gasped, then nudged his companion. She whispered something in awe, then both scrambled away. What have I done now? A second pinprick of light appeared near him, spinning, coordinated with the other. They made spiral trails in the air. He'd have called them spren, but they weren't any he'd seen before. Besides, spren on this side didn't seem to vanish and appear. They were always here, weren't they?
Kaladin?
A voice whispered in his head.
Syl?
He whispered.
What are you doing?
It was rare that he heard her directly in his mind. Standing on the deck. What's happened?
Nothing. I can just feel your mind right now. Stronger than usual. They let you out?
Yes. I've tried to get them to set you free.
They're stubborn. It's an honor spren trait which I, fortunately, escaped.
Syl, what is the fourth ideal?
You know you have to figure that out on your own, silly.
It's going to be hard, isn't it?
Yes. You're close.
He leaned forward, watching the mandras float beneath them. A small flock of glory spren zipped past. They took a moment to fly up and spin about him before heading to the south, faster than the ship. The strange pinpricks of light continued to whirl around him. Sailors gathered behind, making a ruckus until the captain pushed through and gaped.
"What are they?"
Kaladin asked, nodding toward the pinpricks of light.
"Wind spren."
"Oh." They did remind him a little of the way wind spren would fly on gusts of wind. "They're common. Why is everyone so upset?"
"They're not common on this side," the captain said. "They live on your side. Almost completely. I've never seen them before. They're beautiful."
"Perhaps I haven't been giving Notam enough credit," Kaladin thought. "Perhaps he would listen to a different kind of plea."
"Captain," Kaladin said, "I have taken an oath as a windrunner to protect, and the bondsmith who leads us is in danger."
"Bondsmith?"
the captain said.
"Which one?"
"Dalinar Kholin."
"No. Which bondsmith of the three?"
"I don't know what you mean," Kaladin said. "But his spren is the Stormfather. I told you I'd spoken to him." It seemed, from the captain's aghast expression, that perhaps Kaladin should have mentioned this fact earlier.
"I must keep my oath," Kaladin said. "I need you to let Syl go, then take us to a place where we can transfer between realms." "I've sworn an oath myself," the captain said, "to honor and to the truths we follow."
"Honor is dead," Kaladin said, "but the bondsmith is not. You say that you can see how human variety gives us strength? Well, I challenge you to do the same. See beyond the letter of your rules. You must understand that my need to defend the bondsmith is more important than your need to deliver Syl, especially considering that the Stormfather is well aware of her location." The captain glanced at the windspren, which were still spinning about Kaladin, leaving trails that drifted the entire length of the ship before fading.
"I will consider," the captain said.
Adolin stopped at the top of the steps just behind Shallan. Kaladin, the storming bridgeman, stood at the bow of the ship surrounded by glowing lines of light. They illuminated his heroic figure, determined, undaunted, one hand on the prow's flagpole, wearing his crisp wall guard uniform. The ship's spren gazed upon him as if he were a storming herald come to announce the reclamation of the Tranquiline Halls. Just ahead of him, Shallan seemed to change. It was in her bearing, the way she stopped resting lightly on one foot and stood solidly on 2 feet instead, the way her posture shifted, and the way that she seemed to melt upon seeing Kaladin, lips rising to a grin. Blushing, she adopted a fond, even eager, expression. Adolin breathed out slowly. He'd caught those glimpses from her before and seen the sketches of Kaladin in her book. But looking at her now, he couldn't deny what he was seeing. She was practically leering. "I need to draw that," she said. But she just stood there instead, staring at him. Adolin sighed and made his way up onto the high deck. Seemed they weren't forbidden here any longer. He joined Pattern, who had come up another set of steps and was humming happily to himself.
"Kind of hard to compete with that," Adolin noted.
Pattern said.
"You know, I've never really felt like this before. It's not just Kaladin, it's all of this, and what's happening to us."
He shook his head.
"We certainly are an odd bunch."
"Yes, seven people. Odd."
"It's not like I can blame him. It's not as if he's trying to be like he is."
Nearby, a sailor Spren, one of the few who hadn't gathered around Stormblessed and his halo of glowing lights, lowered a spyglass. She frowned, then raised it again. Then she began to call out in the Spren language. People tore themselves away from Kaladin and crowded around. Adolin stepped back, watching until Kaladin and Shallan joined him. Azure crested the steps nearby, looking concerned.
"What is it?" Kaladin asked.
"No idea," Adolin said.
The captain waved for the Mist Spren and Honor Spren to make space, then took the spyglass. He finally lowered it and looked back at Kaladin.
"You were right, human. When you said you might be followed,"
he waved Kaladin and Adolin forward.
"Look low on the horizon at 210 degrees.
Kaladin looked through the spyglass, then breathed out. He extended it toward Adolin, but Shallan snatched it first.
"Storms," she said. "There's at least six of them."
"Eight, my scout says," the captain replied.
Adolin finally got his turn. Because of the black sky, it took him forever to spot the distant specks flying toward the ship. The Fused.